Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Mo. Welcome to your What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. It's nice, really nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. So I am the author of a YA rom-com called A Pho Love Story. It's a Vietnamese American rom-com about two teenagers who fall in love, but the only thing standing in their way is that their parents hate each other. They own rival restaurants right across from each other. Mm-hmm. So it's them trying to figure out how they can make this relationship work, but then it's also sort of falling in love with each other and also themselves and figuring out what they want to do in life. So a lot of love, food, family. As for me, this is my first novel, my first YA novel, but I am also a short story writer, where to write more literary stories. Mm. And my day in my free time, now it's more of my, it's my day job. I'm a book editor at Avon and Schuster Imprint, and I mostly, I edit adult fiction and some nonfiction as well.
Fantastic.
So I'm in the publishing life.
I love this. So was it having an insight, being an editor, help you kind of like get an insight? How did that inform your writing? Like knowing what you right. know now?
Yeah. I mean, I think, I feel like as a writer first before becoming an editor, but the editing part of my life definitely influenced the way that I was writing, because I wasn't editing as I was writing. I think I figured out earlier on that you edit that is not formed. That's kind of destroying your work piece by piece. And so I knew as an editor that I needed to write the entire thing before I looked at it again. Mm-hmm. I try not to be too hard on myself. I try not to be precious with if the prose or the writing wasn't exactly in tip-top shape. I was trying to consider more that if the character story was coming through and if the motions were on page, that was fine to begin with. And then I would come in later as an editor. I think as an editor to writing, I think I was aware that I would eventually have an audience. Mm-hmm. So I made to just not think of myself as just the author, but think of myself as the reader picking this up with a fresh pair of eyes and just seeing and just thinking about how they would feel as they were reading this novel.
I love this. And so why YA?
YA, I think it's just for me, when I was growing up, I never really saw myself in YA. Mm-hmm. I think I would obviously see characters who might feel similar and there's like similar experiences, but nothing that was sort of about me being Vietnamese American, being a child of immigrants and refugees in YA. So I think I always had that thought in the back of my mind, being like, you know, I always felt missing here. Mm-hmm. And I think YA is such a good place where you can you can explore yourself and allow the characters to explore themselves, because teenagers at this age are, you know, they're faced with they're thrown into a lot of chaos, you know. they grow up, they kind of realize things about themselves and about their families and about the world. And it's such a great way to explore just explore everything.
So you wrote a rom-com, which is, mm-hmm. it has its own set of formulas and like just specific things. Like you wrote what I would describe as a Romeo and Juliet with a happily ever after. Yeah.
Right.
So what was your experience writing rom-coms, you know, as opposed to just kind of like just regular contemporary or.
Yeah. I actually didn't think of it in terms of when I was writing it, I wasn't really thinking like, you write it like a rom or like this and that. It was more of, I think I was just more of like whatever's honest to the characters in the story, I would follow that. I am honestly not a huge consumer of rom-com books, but I do enjoy rom-com movies. So I think I was thinking about that as I was crafting this novel.
Yeah.
Like there were certain rom-coms that it wasn't like I was watching them and kind of following them. It was things that I remembered watching growing up. Mm-hmm. I think there was a question that someone had asked me actually about which kind of influenced, and I didn't have one there, but then I was thinking more about it, and there's one that was made in after it was I think 2002 or 2001. I think it was around that time of I think I remember it was 9/11 and how everyone just needed a bit of, there was a lot of obviously film and literature about 9/11, but also I think there was an influx of things that really related to joy and mm-hmm. good things. And there was this really great feel-good rom-com with the really huge emphasis on family called Bend It Like Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
It has Keira Knightley, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the
other. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, that's like such a fun movie.
So it was a rom-com, but also, you know, about family and the pressures of family and trying to figure out what you want in life and falling in love, but knowing that you can't fall in love in this way. And so I think that had that really kind of impacted me, and I didn't think about it until later on because mm-hmm. of the question that someone else had asked about, oh, what rom-com were you thinking of? And I was like, subconsciously, I guess this one, of how it was just a rom-com, or it wasn't about just the two people who were falling in love, but mm-hmm. about everyone surrounding them, their supporting system, their family. Mm-hmm. And it was also about their individual wants too, as people separate from the idea of being a couple, but themselves individually.
I love
that. So I was more of a consumer of films rather than novels, but I do enjoy the occasional rom-com.
It's all good. Yeah, I'm like, I've always loved romance, like, or love stories. Like, I love books that had a love story Edison. So mm-hmm. like anything with it, it's fine. And so I'm like a newly romance reader. Like, I started reading romance, like the genre, like in 2016. And so I did not
know
about the genre itself. And like, I've focused on that now, but it's like interesting to see like there's the formulas, like, you know, like there, but how each author takes the genre into its own perspective. Like, you know, they might be inspired by movies, they might be inspired by stuff, and they're still like, at the end of the day, the characters are going to end up together at some sort.
We all know the end. I mean, I think that thing about the comfort of rom-coms and I mean, in general, genre fiction genre fiction gets a really bad rep, which does not, I don't understand where that hate comes from. Mm-hmm. We might know the ending, but we don't know how it's going to get there. Yeah. So that's the thing that I love the most of, like, there's,
I love the journey,
that ending, right?
Like, I know it's going to be fine. And sometimes I'm like, I'm questioning the author. I'm like, are you going to like end it fine? And I go back to the ending and I'm like, okay, they're going to be fine. But I love the journey. I love, like, they take us to a different perspective, like to a different place. And I love the character development that happens, because you kind of have to get to know the characters and get to know.
Yes. You have to care about them.
Yeah, the arc, like the growth that happens. And I love in YA because there's a lot of like first times, like coming of age, there's a lot of questioning, there's family, there's all these relationships that take shape that help you kind of like just go through that. So the love story is part of it, but it's not the whole story itself.
Yeah, that's how I would think about my novel for sure.
Mm-hmm. I love this. So what was your journey to publication?
So I was more of, I think I was working on short stories mostly before then. Mm-hmm. I was writing more adult literary short stories and with a ghostly bent, and a lot of them are dark, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But then I eventually started to want more, to want happier stories.
Yeah.
Happier stories. And so my editor is Jen Ung, and he is just famous for shepherding these writers through these wonderful, joyful books from a diverse perspective, but also having like totally universal themes and characters who you can see yourself no matter what. So with her, I was able to work on this idea and kind of blow it up. And it was just wonderful to write this and then to have her perspective as well, because she is like me, an immigrant or a child of immigrants. Mm-hmm. And there were moments where I think I was working on the romance, but then I was kind of not as tempted to delve that deeply into the side of like the reality of the kids being children of immigrants. And from there, like, I was able to have a really great discussion with Jen and how to put that on page honestly, and not obviously overtake the romance aspect, but make it just as important as the romance. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of collaboration with my editor. It was really wonderful. I think the journey was just entirely magical. It was really just so much fun. And I get to see the magic of publishing from my end as an editor, for sure. Mm-hmm. But going on this journey myself, I just realized there's so many nice people in publishing and so many good-natured people, and their love kind of fueled me to really try to make sure the story was solid. So I really enjoyed that aspect of as I was working on rewrites and just listening to people talk about how excited they were to read this finally. Mm-hmm. It made me really want to try to do it quicker. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was really magical and it was really lucky, but a lot of hard work as well. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I love this. Well, I feel like it was like a fun, magical book to read. Like, it was just like a breath of fresh air as someone mm-hmm. who's like reading and like have experience with immigration, just because I'm from Puerto Rico, but mm-hmm. I grew up on the island. Like, actually, it's a weird place, but you know, I grew up on the island. My family still lives here, so I'm like here, but it's still like just just having just conversations, trying to like, how do you keep your culture and then mm-hmm. still being like in this world and then still like, you know, connection with your family and the relationship with family and the stories that we grew up with, you know.
Right. So. Yeah. And sometimes we it's interesting for me, because I have friends who are, you know, they're white and things, and obviously we have these shared experiences, but there's some experiences that as I grew older, I just realized that not a lot of people, mm-hmm. the people that I was surrounding myself with, they didn't really completely understand it. Mm-hmm. So to have that freedom to put this on page, and then now to hear people like Vietnamese American teens, Asian American teens, they've been like writing really great notes and reviews and just saying how nice it is to feel seen. That just makes my heart warm, because I think that's all I really wanted when I was growing up and reading YA. I really just wanted to be seen, be there. And the possibility of my book doing the same now, of doing that very thing, it's really heartwarming.
I think that should be really inspiring to say, like, you know, I'm doing something that's going to be, have some meaning for an audience.
Yeah. 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 To have meaning, but then also to encourage, like, if there are writers who felt similarly to me, like not being seen, I hope it's also a, like, look, like this can, you can do this too. And you can put yourself on page and have it work and have people feel the same way. I hope that's the signal this book will give out. I mean, it's not, I am so proud that I'm able to put this like Vietnamese American, you know, story on page, but I also know for sure that there's so much subtlety, nuance to the Vietnamese American experience, to the Asian American experience, to immigrant experience and things. And I never want people to think that the space is taken. I am so excited to see so many more stories in this vein. Yeah.
I think I love it. I think there's like a magic about, you know, just being one of many and sharing your story and how differing it does, you know, like, because there's like so much nuances between, you know, like even coming from Vietnam, like either first generation, second generation, third generation, you know, like.
Yeah, there's very different experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. And just having, or even Asian American, like I've had conversations because I'm Puerto Rican, I have conversation with other Latino authors and I seek out those sort of experiences. And I love, like, I just had a conversation with another author who wrote about a dysfunctional Latina family. And I was like, I told her, I was like, I'm so grateful because my family is dysfunctional. And so there's an expectation within Latino writing. It's like, it's a strong sense of family, you know, that they all love each other. Your cousins are your best friend, all different things. And that's like, not everyone has that experience. And so I appreciate when like an author takes a chance and says like, you know, like, let me show you a different perspective. Because I think it shows that it's not monolithic. It's not like the same thing. Everyone has the same experience. Like,
yeah, I like that you brought up the word expertise. I think that's another thing that came up as I was preparing, as I was publicizing my book, of there was a great question of, do you think there's certain expectations that are put on Vietnamese American writers? Mm-hmm. And for me, I think I butchered that answer because it was one of my first interviews, and I was saying, oh no, not really. But now that I think about it, I think there is I don't think it's said as much, but it's just there, or it's just me thinking that it's you, but there's this connection that Vietnamese American, of like people of my age, we have this kind of this connection through our parents or aunts or whatever to the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And there might be an expectation to write about that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, for me, I had to include it in my novel. I mean, my teenager's parents are from Vietnam and it escaped during that time. So for me personally, I had to put that in because it is a part of who I am and who mm-hmm. A lot of people my age and a little bit younger, that's the reality of it. Mm-hmm. So there's that expectation though, that I don't want to be I don't want it to be an expectation. If you have to write about it, do it because you feel as if it is necessary and if it's something that you truly honestly want to explore. But then, yeah, I think the expectation, you set it yourself. You have to set it yourself as the writer. Like, you have to decide what you like to do. If you're a Vietnamese American writer or things, and you don't want to write about it, the war, totally, like, you know, that is up to you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's a magic of writing joy, you know? I think it's like so much of people seek out the trauma. You're like the trauma, you know? But there's a little about the joy, you know? Yeah, the joy of falling in love, the joy of like figuring out like who your place in the world. Like,
exactly.
We need
that's what stories. I wanted to, that's the joy. I want to center the joy in my work. And that's what I ultimately hope that I did in a love story.
You did. I didn't think about, there was some stuff with the war and all just the family history and the tragedy. But the reality was, it was the joy about falling in love, the joy about figuring out what they wanted to do in their life, like what they want to do when they grow up, like, you know, painting a mural and like writing mm-hmm. articles. I felt like, you know, like, you saw the experience of them growing up and trying to figure out like their place in the world. Mm-hmm. And that felt joyful. Like, it's
thank you.
Yeah. And all the food.
Yes, the food.
Oh my essential. Gosh. Were you hungry when you were writing?
Oh yeah. Well, I'm hungry all the time. So, you know, different, but yeah, I was, cause when I was writing this, I was mostly living out, like right now I am with my parents because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But when I was writing this novel, I was in New York. And so right now I'm in Connecticut and I was living in New York for the pandemic. So when I was writing it, yeah, I was craving Vietnamese food, and the Vietnamese food around me, they were not as good as my mom's food. So I was definitely craving it. And then I substitute it with foods, of course, but yeah, that during my writing, I was really hungry.
Yes. I have to tell you, I was like, I just moved to Chicago. So I was like trying to like look for a Vietnamese place, and like Asian American food in Chicago it's a hit or miss. Like I'm missing up on New York. So I'm like trying to find it. I'm like looking at all these dishes and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to find some good recommendations. So, but that's like something I'm like seeking out. And your book was definitely one of those places where I was like, that sounds so good.
Thanks.
So let's see. How are you writing in the pandemic? How's that going for you? I know those are the data, but we've been in the pandemic for a year, so, and it doesn't seem like we're going to get out of it anytime soon. So
yeah.
How's that going for you?
I think my initial into the pandemic were unsuccessful. My brain was definitely shut down. So I was writing in the first few months. Mm-hmm. But then since writing is like a self-care activity for me, I think that's why a few months after that, I just returned to it. And it's slow. It really is slow, but it's, I think I like it because, I don't feel any pressure. There's no real deadline. Mm-hmm. I have more time to think about the writing and the characters, the setting, the plot, everything. So it's going slowly, but in a good way.
I love this. I love hearing that. Mm-hmm. So let's chat. Let's chat about FO Love Story. What was the source of inspiration? I think we chatted quite a few about the stuff, but was there any source of inspiration between getting these two families together, and
yeah.
Love?
Yeah. I know that people have been saying Romeo and Juliet, but Vietnamese American. And that's like that's a really quick pitch and things. So, but I really was writing it. I wasn't inspired by the story, the Romeo and Juliet story. Maybe the concept of it, I definitely didn't intend, and I don't think it is to retelling of Romeo and Juliet. I think I was inspired mostly, the food had to take what was kind of like a centerpiece at first, because food is something that's just a part of who I am, a part of who my family.
Mm-hmm.
We get together and there's always food. Mm-hmm. We cook together. We cook together, or for me, I just do what they tell me to, because I'm not a good cook. So I'm there and I'm part of it, but I'm not the main chef, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So food was definitely a huge source of inspiration, but then also my family and the idea of growing up in a way, always knowing that the things I did would kind of reflect back on my family, mm-hmm. and that my family would probably always have a comment about what I did. And then there's also an aspect of, since in the novel, like a source of the tension in the novel is that there's like gossip that's on one particular side, and the gossip kind of initially had ruined the other family's restaurant prospects, but then after a few years it was okay. But the initial part where they were one of the families they were just setting up the restaurant, they were kind of hurt by this gossip.
Mm-hmm.
I think gossip plays a huge part in the novel, and mm-hmm. Vietnamese gossip, I think it's really annoying, but it happens. Like, yeah. There will be one thing will be said, and then you'll hear about it really quickly, and then you're like, how did it get from B? But
yeah.
So that was also a funny part that I had to incorporate. But yeah, I think I've always been interested in, one of the things about the romance between Bao and Lin that I enjoyed writing was that they sort of realized it slowly. I think they first start as friends and then mm-hmm. become romantically involved.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of like a slow relationship that leads to this kind of moment of, you realize, this is what you mean to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was inspired by that aspect too.
I love it. I got a lot of good slow burn romance. Like, you just, yeah, like, just make it work, you know, go deal with the stuff and the journey, and then you just, like, get together. You're like, the reader's like, oh my gosh, if I got together, you know, like, yeah, it's sweeter at the end, you know. So awesome. So what has been, let's talk about some book recommendations. What has been a book that you read in the past year, if you have been able to, if not, at some point, that you would recommend?
Yeah, so I, last year I had read, I think I read a lot, but not totally my favorite, but there was this book that was called The Last Story of Mina Lee, by Nancy Kim.
Yeah.
And it's an adult book, and it's adult kind of family story where it's about this daughter figuring out her mom's past. Her mom just suddenly passed, and they had this really strained relationship. But then she's kind of led on this journey to figure out what had happened. And we also get, in alternating chapters, her mom's side when she first came over from Korea, and just trying to figure out how to survive. I thought the story was just so moving, and it made me, it's one that I like slowly finished because I was kind of savoring everything, and I was savoring all the emotions because there's a lot of emotion there. And, but yeah, so I really love that one. And then the past year, I'm trying to think of another one, but well, it was one that I recently finished that I really love was Happily Ever Afters by Elise Bryant.
Oh, that's delightful. So good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, first of all, that cover is that color, and there's just so much joy on the cover that I was just drawn in from there. So that cover art was perfect. It did the trick. But then I also love the story about a writer, and it was so cute. You know, it was really brilliant. So that put a smile on my face for sure. And for me, I'm actually also boring because I read a lot of craft books, like books about writing. And one that I'm enjoying is called Craft in the Real World, by Matthew Salesis. And it's kind of, so I had come from an MFA writing background, did a lot of workshops, and a lot of my workshops were definitely like, there weren't a lot of BIPOC voices at the time in my MFA program. So this book is actually from the viewpoint of someone who is not white, and it kind of changes perspective on the things I learned, and yeah, but it's really helpful. So I do dive in. I want to write more and more, like not just novels but short stories in general. I tend to read a lot of books about writing, so that's one, Craft in the Real World. Trying to think of what else that, I think those are the ones that are coming up right now.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love the crafting one. I actually am going to pick it up. Some, I got a project that I'm working on, and I'm like, that's going to be interesting. I love that it's not a white author, you know?
Right. So. Yeah. It's not like there are ones that are by white authors who are, I mean, it's amazing still, but it definitely offers a different perspective, and I'll add it to my pile, obviously, too.
Yeah.
You need a lot of like craft books, I think, before you can figure out which one works the best for you.
Yeah.
So I like a combination for sure.
I love this. So tell us where you can find you online.
Everywhere. I feel like I live online and I reveal too much of myself online these days. So on Twitter, my handle is just my name, Twice Lone Lone. On Instagram, it's my name twice, Lone Lone, plus Lee, Lone Lone Lee. My website is writerlonely.me or .com. I have both of those as my domain. And my books are, they can be found everywhere. On Amazon, BNN, the indies, support your indies. Libraries too. So it's really, people can easily find me, and I might regret that later, but I can be found all the time online.
It's all good. So thank you, Lone, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast.
Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatreadnextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORead10 to save. Visit whatreadnextblog.com/queenbeereads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.